Right?
Yes.
And this book is about your life growing up around the butcher shop?
Well, actually, it's about really when I first got my first job from Kansas City area out of K-State in Manhattan, Kansas, and it's the advice he started to give me as I went out into the work world. And it spans from my 25-year career in the staffing industry and all the advice that he gave me that applied so well to not only my professional life but also my personal life.
Okay, well, let's find out a little bit about your life, a little bit about you, first of all. If you want to talk about your career or where you're at now or your family.
I am number 9 of 10 children, Joan, Judy, Johnny, Jimmy, Joey, Jerry, Jeannie, Jane, Mary, Barbara.
Wait a minute. How did Mary and Barbara work in there?
Well, my mom's name was Mary, and they thought I'd be the last one. And then here, my little sister Barbie came a couple of years later, so I was named after my mother. But John and Mary Bickelmeyer, my parents, from Shawnee, Kansas. And as I said, number 9 of 10 children. I was the first one to go out into the work world, actually outside of the butcher shop and the farm community that we were in, and kind of ventured out into the staffing industry and made my way in finding people work and companies people. And just really, as I said, took some great advice from my dad to heart and worked my way up in an organization to... I recently started my own consulting company, and prior to that, I was one of the top 3 executives in a billion-dollar-plus staffing company in charge of all the North American operations.
All right. Well, what made you decide to take this advice and put it into a book?
Well, the sad part about the book is that my father passed away a couple years ago, and when he passed away, as I said, being number 9 of 10 children, you can imagine the legacy and the number of children that were left behind. There's over 115 in my immediate family right now. And my youngest son is the youngest grandchild, he would never know his grandfather the way all the rest of the grandchildren had, and all the great-grandchildren wouldn't either since he was gone. So I decided to put into this book that was intended only for my family, to write down some of the stories and the wisdom that he shared with me. And after it was published just for my family, we get so many requests for it that now it's taken on a life of its own. We just sold the rights to publish it in Korea, believe it or not. We're on our 5th printing, and I'm traveling all over the country, and actually Japan. I just recently got an email from someone in Japan who is interested in buying the rights there. So this sweet little book about my dad, I think, resonates so much with people because it's really just basic grassroots wisdom about how to lead a really happy life.
Now, did your brothers and sisters ever... were they benefiting any from the wisdom from dad directly, or
was this simply
for you when you left home?
Right. It's funny because all of my brothers and sisters say they could have written this book from whatever their perspective is. My sister says the same wisdom applies with her 6 children. You know, it's the exact same wisdom. I just talk about it in with more my frame of reference, if you will, is from the work world. But it's the same wisdom that he shared with my brothers running the meat market, my sisters, all stay-at-home moms. It's almost all of his famous sayings. Things like, it's not the pursuit of happiness, it's the happiness of pursuit that inspires. Or, if you're all wrapped up in yourself, you make a damn small package. or can I say damn? Sorry about that.
Oh, no, you can say that.
Or things like, he'd always say, don't forget the first hunk of meat you sell is yourself. And he'd remind me and all of our siblings, you better make sure you put comeback sauce on everybody you come in contact with, because you're going to want them to come back, aren't you? And it was just one after the other. Get out your blinders and put it on. Raise your hand, put it down, and get back to playing the game. You know, just there's the whole book is filled with over 16 little gems of wisdom and a little story behind each one of them that was really, as I said, how he phrased it with me. But you can apply the wisdom in both personal and professional life.
What do you think made your dad so wise?
You know, honestly, when he was about 40 years old, they told him he maybe had 8 or 9 more years to live. He had a problem with his lungs. They had to, I don't even know the whole story behind it, but they had to inflate it every week. And they basically said, you know, he really did not have, he couldn't even buy life insurance. And I think that changed his whole attitude about living large from, you know, every moment was so precious. And he laughed and he said, I outlived the insurance man that wouldn't sell me insurance. I outlived the actuaries that told me how long I'd live. He said it really ended up being a turning point in his life as to how to live his life. And I think it, because he was fearless and the fact that he didn't think he had long to live, I think he lived in a way that people learned and watched him and I think really valued what he had to say because he took chances that maybe others might not have. And, you know, family of 10 children, you have a legacy, as far as being a role model. And I think that was the other part of it. He really wanted us to be proud of him, and we were.
You obviously took his advice to heart as you were making your way in the world. Now that you have made your way, do those thoughts and those pieces of wisdom still come back to you? Do you still apply them in your life?
Every day. I can't tell you how many times as a mother I find myself using the same wisdom. What's funny is the boys will go, that's chapter 5. or mom, there's one phrase he says, if you don't like somebody, then they don't like you. You better find the like. And they'll go, we always do, find the like. If there's a teacher or a coach or whatever, if you don't like somebody, they don't like you. You got to work with them. You better find the like. And it's funny because we'll refer back to the book and now that I've lost my dad, he was kind of the go-to person for me. You know, I was very close to my mother as well. My dad was a little bit more vocal about his wisdom. And so I could write it down, and we go back as a family and refer to it. In fact, my son's English class, he's a junior in high school, they all read it. It was a required reading this semester because it's just basic wisdom to live your life by that sometimes you just need to go back and get reminded of it.
Well, that's pretty impressive that it was required reading for your son. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're using it in so many different ways. That's a lot of companies are using it as kind of a reminder about a customer service attitude. But I've been talking to, like, for example, I was in Pittsburgh talking to the Institute for Transfusion Medicine because they wanted to have all of their phlebotomists, anyone who was in contact with someone who was good enough to give blood. They wanted them to have the kind of experience that they wanted to come back because it's so difficult to find people to get blood now. So they're applying the idea of the comeback sauce, if you will. And then there's the Texas Association for Principals. They're all using the book as they gave it as a gift to all of their teachers for their summer reading, and they'll come back and talk about how they apply it with their students. And as I'm amazed and overwhelmed by the response by this little sweet little book, but I'm not surprised because it was the kind of wisdom that he shared when he was alive that made over 2,000 people at his funeral. And, our local paper had a big article about him, Kansas City Star, about, you know, Shawnee Lou's a city philosopher. So he was a beloved man in our community. And now after he's gone, it's amazing to me that he's living on with others outside of our community and all over, and now all over the world. The epitaph that we put on my mom and dad's gravestone was, to live in hearts we leave behind means not to die. So to live in hearts we leave behind means not to die. And I think what a great testimonial that he's living on beyond his own family, which is big enough, as I told you. It's just so special for our entire family that someone like you is nice enough to ask me about it. Obviously, I love bragging about him.
Let me ask you, what do you think he would say, or how would he feel about, you know, his simple, logical, common sense type things being used in corporations and, you know, by big companies to, you know, with their employees and things like that? How would he see that? How would he think about that?
I think he would be, aw, shucks kind of attitude. It's just simple. Doesn't everybody live this way?
Yeah. I mean, Why the big deal?
Yeah, I don't think he ever really would have imagined that people would take it to heart so much. But I think there was a little bit of the humble side of him, and then there's the other side of him that would be just so darn proud. Mm-hmm. And he'd always, and also especially proud of his children. He'd always say to us, "I'm so proud of you, just as I am all my children." There was never one moment in my entire career, no matter how. What I did, that I ever got the spotlight just by myself, he'd always go, I'm so proud of you, just as I am all my children. And it kind of made you remember that you were part of something bigger than just yourself. And I think that's what he would feel like right now is, oh, shucks, gosh, really? You guys all think that's great advice? But I think the other part of him would be, I'm just so darn proud. He had an eighth grade education from Eudora, Kansas, opened his own meat market so he could make sure he gave his children the opportunity to go to college, and they all did. And I think he lived a simple life with simple rules, and we put him in this book, and now others can value that. You know, I think that's what's come of it.
Okay. Mary, you're going to be in the Quad Cities to do a book signing.
And the book is available at that Borders location as well as Amazon.com. Just have to type in Lunch Meat and Life Lessons, and you can order it online at Amazon.com.
All right. We've been visiting with Mary Lucas, author of Lunch Meat and Life Lessons, Sharing a Butcher's Wisdom. And Mary, I want to thank you so much. And,
oh, thank you so much.
I'm going to go out and get the book. I just got to.
Hey, I have my own comeback stuff. Let me send you one. When we close, I'll make sure I have your address, and I'd love to get one your way.
All right. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.